This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome to the bonus episode.
Oh, wait, I have a song. After the episode is the bonus episode.
Really?
You, you haven't spoken for 10 minutes.
I've been rehearsing it under my breath.
Yeah, you have really a notebook. Cool. You read that. That's insane.
There's so many drafts.
But guys, thank you for getting us up to, we're up to 400 reviews and climbing. We said if we got to 400 reviews, we would do an episode where we answered your guys' questions about the campaign or D&D in general.
We keep our promises.
And we keep our promises. We're good people.
Yes.
So why don't, should we just kick it off and get right into a question?
Yeah. I would love that.
Cool. So I've organized some
here. Fucking episode 4 spoilers. Here we go.
Yeah, we do. We record the episodes in blocks, so I had to prep these guys before we started today, not to give spoilers for things that happen.
Right. Well, I got a good one.
Hard one kills Denny.
Is this
Denny comes back?
Yeah, I would never kill Denny. I like Denny's character too much.
He was king of the bullywogs.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool. So, guys, people asked us questions on the
subreddit?
Not Another D&D Podcast subreddit. Yeah. You can check it out at r/notanotherdndpodcast or on Twitter at #nadpod.
That's two D's.
That's two D's,
and
baby.
And one pod.
And one pod.
Yeah. Two D's up top, one D at the end.
Right.
Three collective
Someone
D's.
Someone is like very confused at their computer. That's nadpod with two D's, one D at the end, though, and then an A in the front, and then an N first, and a P right in the middle. And that's how you spell it.
Fucking love to spell.
Dope. So we're going to get to as many questions as we can. If we didn't get to your question, I think we're still going to go on the subreddit and we'll try to answer as many as we can. I'll be on there. I can't speak
for
these.
I love that. Let's do that.
These freaking ragamuffins.
I always read the subreddit.
All right. First question comes from Mike T on Twitter. He says, I'm curious how you all decided on which race / class you were going to be. Did you just pick the one that sounded coolest? Was there any conscious collaborative effort made to balance the party? What, if any, guidance did Murph provide?
Murph provided jack shit. I write his DM.
I actively encouraged you guys not to play.
I texted with Murph a little bit about my character. I
derailed Caldwell.
Yeah, that's true. That was initially was just going to play like a pretty straight up druid. I think I was still going to do a halfling druid, but I was going to do a druid that was a Boy Scout. I knew I wanted to be a Boy Scout, but I was
you had already kind of created the green teens. You were going to do the green teens, but you were going to be a druid,
right?
But then Emily read
is just like a normal sized person.
No. A druid's a class. You play with a druid. Emily is a druid.
Moonshine's a druid.
Moonshine's a druid.
Although Moonshine is a pretty funky druid.
So it's just like
druid.
A magic person.
Yeah, but Moonshine's a pretty funky druid because she can actually deal some damage. Because I was reluctant to play a druid because I play a druid in another campaign. And I was like, I already play a druid and my druid isn't that powerful. I'm worried about having like just three people and like one of them is a druid. But then I read about the Circle of Spores druid, and I was like, that's pretty.
And then you had to text Caldwell and tell him that he couldn't be a druid anymore.
I
thought you're a halfling druid, or no?
I'm a halfling green knight.
Yeah.
Paladin, yeah. Right.
Is a paladin a race?
No.
No, a paladin's a class.
Yeah.
I'm learning along with the listeners.
You're doing a good job, like on the podcast. You're very entertaining. You're playing the game pretty intelligently.
Appreciate that.
It's amazing that you don't know anything.
I'm dumb. well, that's why I chose a human because I was afraid of like all the spells and the potions and all the
human can still be a wizard.
Oh no,
your class is fighter. You chose fighter because of that.
I mean Murph gave me a lot of guidance, clearly, as anybody listening can tell.
Yeah, I was gonna say, to go back to the original question, we were here when you chose, when Jake chose his character, his race and class. He knew he wanted to be human like Aragorn.
Mm-hmm.
But then Murph was probing you, being like, well, what do you want to do? Like, basically saying, like, oh, do you want to be this kind of class? Do you want to be this kind of class? And you were like, I just want to be really cool and do that stuff. And you, and then Murph was like, do you want to be, like, a champion? And you're like, yeah, a champion. Yeah,
that really is it.
Yeah, there's a
I waited for buzzwords.
There's a subclass of fighter that is really the easiest class to play, which is at level 3, you can take the champion subclass. And all it means is that you critical hit easier. You get more attacks earlier. It's the easiest class, and also it really plays in Hard One's personality, which is great.
It makes it very easy to be your friend.
If it clears anything up, when I was in college, my math credit was elementary school math for teaching major people. Oh. I hadn't declared, so I was allowed to take that as a math credit. So I just learned. I relearned like my multiplication table.
Wow!
So it's like when
I always take the path of least resistance.
That is so funny. Wait, were your like final like tests? Or, like, did you have to like host a math class for so, the rest of the class?
The sad truth to this is that I didn't go to my final because I skipped everything and I got an F in the class.
Hell yeah.
You got an F in elementary math.
That's right.
But Jake, the teachers get to look at the answers. That's the whole point.
It's crazy. I had a final and I had a D in the class, and then instead of taking the final, I just went home for summer early.
That is a level of not
look
giving a fuck I wish I could achieve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But weird. Caldwell, I feel like Beverly was kind of a happy accident because you became a paladin as sort of a concession to Emily. But I think Beverly wouldn't be as good if he wasn't a little paladin.
No, I think making Beverly a strong boy really worked in his favor.
it's
would
so
he have not
adorable.
Been a boy if he was a druid?
No, I think
you were
going to
make him a little man?
No, I think he was always going to be a boy. He was always going to be a Boy Scout. But I think that by leaning into him being a strong boy, it got a little more into what I really want him to be, which is just a little anime character.
Yeah.
And by having him be like this nice little strong boy, he's basically the protagonist of every shonen anime. He's basically just Deku for My Hero, but like since he's a halfling, he'll always just be a sweet little guy.
Okay, that brings us to another question. I kind of have these organized, so we're quasi on topic. That's the DM.
Weird.
Very nice.
Should we be rolling?
Or not, I value order. Okay,
we should at least be rolling for who answers the question.
Oh, that would actually be really fun. I don't have my dice with me.
I don't have my dice.
All right,
with
so let's just everybody right, so guess what they would have rolled. I think I just got a 20.
Okay, wow. That's really good.
I got a 25 because I have plus 5 to whatever I roll.
Shit, that's awesome.
Okay, Theo Dudley from Reddit asks, hey guys, my question is for everybody. Are your characters expressions of yourself to some extent, or are you more into the idea of playing a character completely unlike your real self?
I feel like I can answer for everybody, right?
Go for it.
You're such a good boy.
Aw.
And you literally are a hick elf.
Yeah, the weird thing was...
And I've been growing my beard on purpose since we started playing. Right. I'm trying to be Hard One.
I did buy 2 pairs of overalls the other day.
Emily has been wearing so much overalls.
And eating more mushrooms.
Hey, don't sell me out. I have been eating more mushrooms.
And you've got the cats.
Yeah. I mean, I think that when I was going to play Moonshine, I remember having this really big debate in my head, which when I voiced it out to Murph, it sounded insane, which is that I was like, I think I really want her to be, because a lot of other D&D characters I play are like really angsty or, you know, really staunchly about something else or, you know, like I've got like a really, I don't know how to describe her, a really religiously close-minded cleric that I play. And I wanted to play this one like super sweet. I was like, should I play a real sweetheart? And
you originally wanted to name her Sweetie.
Yeah.
And I said, wow. Please.
I'm so glad you went with that. I can't imagine playing with like...
You guys do have a great group dynamic because your characters all have, you know, character flaws and personalities, but none of you are like the angsty rogue who doesn't want to work with anyone, always just leads to fucking a bad game.
We're all very enthusiastic.
I will say that is the one thing that ties all of my characters together is that I'm very obsessed with party. Like, I am incapable of playing a character that's like, I don't know if I want to be traveling around with you guys. I'm always like, cool, we're family now. I've immediately met right. you, and you are now under my wing.
I saw a lot of comments about people waiting for the episode where I slip up and call Hardwon and Moonshine mom and dad.
That really right.
I mean, in the first episode,
too.
We become your scoutmasters.
Exactly. You guys are pretty much his parents. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know what? Going back to that question of the Moonshine thing, is like, well, first off, one thing is like, I relate to her hospitality. I love cooking for other people, and I love like I love getting everyone together, but I also she like desperately does not want to be a mother, even though she loves family, and so like I would say that's true about me. So I think that all the stuff with Beverly and Moonshine, it's just like she gets to have like this little son without having to actually do it.
Yeah, you also do have a fungal entity form.
Yeah, I guess that's
the fun part about the characters too, because like On a lighthearted level, you're like, oh, this person's a badass. But then, like, on a deeper level, you always, like, insert a small part of you into the character that makes them so much more fun
to play. Yeah, you kind of have to, right? Like, that's kind of the only way to get invested. I think you're either playing a version of yourself or you're playing kind of who you want to be in a way.
Hard one for me is both.
I will say
the insecurity, but also he does rule.
I will say all of my characters are very interested in women.
So
that's always acting out something that I don't act out in my day-to-day life.
Right.
Yeah, Caldwell, do you want to talk about your connection to Beverly a little?
I do have. I was an Eagle Scout. I was in the Boy Scouts of America. And I do have a big merit badge sash, and I like quantifiable achievement. And I do like making people, I like pleasing people and making sure people are happy and sated.
That sounds like Beverly to me.
Yep.
All right, let's go on to another question. On the topic of the characters, Olivia Moody from Twitter asks, how did Moonshine get Pawpaw? Is he from a pedigree possum breeder, or is he a rescue possum?
Oh, wow. I think it's much more one of those situations. Like, if you watch that cats documentary on YouTube, like, the cat just
Oliver
shows
and
up.
Company? Or Keddie?
Keddie, yeah.
Okay.
It's like, the cat just shows up every day. I think it's kind of just like, Pawpaw and Moonshine were like, they just kept crossing paths. And then it was like, I don't know. Do we just team up? Okay. I think it was like that.
I was telling Emily that there is a Meemaw Gump, and that is Meemaw's possum. And she's a big possum. And so a little peek behind the screen, but Pawpaw is the runt of one of Meemaw's litters.
Oh, man. Wow.
I didn't even know that yet.
This is great. I can't wait for us
He's
to all...
He's a runt? Please don't have that reflected in his stats.
No, he's just like, he's not
a strong runt.
He's not actually like, you know, developmentally different than a different possum, but he's maybe a little crazier, maybe a little more rabid.
He didn't get quite as nourished as a child.
I can't wait.
And another thing is, whenever there's pawpaw noises, it's usually Jake.
Yeah.
Jake, will you do your little pawpaw noise?
when we did the shout outs at the end of the last episode, Emily was like, Jake has to do the pawpaw shout outs. I was like, you got to be responsible for them. It's your possum.
How does your pawpaw voice go?
Oh, I didn't do it. I just did like a like, Pawpaw, why are you biting at my leg? it's because he wants to say hi to you too.
I had a weird fantasy, or not even a fantasy, I guess more of an idea. But someday
no,
when we get
cool.
our
I understand.
When
you
we get our first
bed.
Ad, I want to have our coupon code be Pawpaw.
Absolutely.
Oh, that would be amazing.
What a big dream.
I know.
What a big dream that
one
you
ad.
Had.
Can you imagine?
Pawpaw.
It's awesome that you describe that as a fantasy.
I have a boring life, man.
It's just Jake, like, on his porch looking at the sunset, being like, one day.
One of these days, we'll say, enter Pawpaw for 5% off.
I just can't
Come
wait
on,
for...
Squarespace.
I just can't wait for everyone in our party to be dead so that it can finally be Pawpaw Adventures.
No!
Oh, man.
That is one thing that I don't... Murph and I haven't really come to a conclusion yet about if Pawpaw will level up like an animal companion or not.
I am so close to being able to talk to Pawpaw.
You are very close to being able to talk to Pawpaw because you guys are level 2 right now.
Yeah.
At level 3, if Caldwell's character, if Beverly takes the Green Knight subclass, the Oath of Ancients, you'll be able to cast Speak to Animals.
You better fucking believe I'm going to do that. Do you know how awful it is to be with your family at dinner and they're all sharing jokes with the dog and you don't know what they're saying? It's the worst.
It's a cool character trait. I watched my dad talk to my dog growing up, and I always wondered what they were talking about.
It's because, like, every dad does talk to the dog, but, like, this dad can actually understand what the dog's saying.
Yeah, they had long, meaningful conversations by the fire.
A lot of people have been commenting on Reddit and tweeting at me, suggesting to have Amir come on and voice Pawpaw.
But see, that makes me mad, because Jake is the voice of Pawpaw.
But even that... Pawpaw.
People have been trying to give Amir my accomplishments for years.
Pawpaw is going to talk so much. Like, soon you guys are going to be able to speak to him.
Yeah.
Amir would need to want to sit with us and play D&D for 6 hours at a time, several times, and he can't even, not make fun of you.
And plus, we already know that Amir is going to voice the resurrected dark dragon.
Right.
That's right.
I just realized, isn't there a druid thing that I can cast, like, awakened? Can I awaken Pawpaw at, like, a super high level?
What do you mean awaken Pawpaw?
Like, give him his own...
Like, shake him? More intelligent?
This is finally when you're willing to become a mother. Wait. It's like Shape of Water with you and Pawpaw.
Yeah, Emily, you could awaken Pawpaw.
Emily, you could Rats of Nim Pawpaw? Holy shit, you could Mrs. Frisbee Pawpaw? That's... Oh, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Papa's gonna invent electricity.
Cool, let's do another question. This one's from the Reddit, from the Prince of Fear.
Love Reddit.
Ooh,
how far ahead is the story planned? Is there going to be a big plot or just a bunch of mini arcs like the Moonstone Saga? Also, is character death a risk here?
I can answer that. I'm just kidding.
I think about it as far as how far ahead the story is planned. I wouldn't consider the Moonstone Saga like a mini arc. It's just... That's the village you guys are in right now.
Right.
And you guys will still be the same characters. You'll pick up clues in Moonstone that will lead you somewhere else. So everything will be connected. It's not just going to be like, oh, you guys do this, and then you go on to the next thing for no reason, or you get rid of these characters and roll new ones. It's going to be Moonstone will happen. You guys will do good or you'll do bad, and then things will happen based on that.
And then we'll get to decide where we want to go next.
Pretty much.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
I think I have two questions. One, say, I don't know if you're allowed to answer this or if it'll be too much behind the curtain.
Sure.
But when we snuck around that like half orc barbarian guard dude.
Right.
In your head, are you like, you have what's going to happen if we talk to that dude, or at least like enough backstory on that guy.
Right.
And enough backstory if we just ignore him and go across the river.
Totally.
Are you like hoping for one thing or the other? Are you like, what's your thought process as we're deciding?
So with Moonstone, I have the barbarians who have kind of their own goals. I have the Green Teens quest, and then there are also other things going on that haven't happened yet on the podcast, so I won't say them. But basically, everyone has their own goals and fears and things that they want. So it's less about me being like, oh, if they don't talk to this guy, I don't know what I'm going to do. And it's more like, okay, this guy wants to X. Mm-hmm. If they stop him, he won't do X. If they don't stop him, maybe he will. Or maybe he would have helped.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe he was tired of the other barbarians. Maybe he's like more of a peace-minded druid who wants to join the other druids in Moonstone. And maybe he would have helped you guys.
Right.
Or maybe he's a bad guy.
I fucking knew it.
Maybe he's a bad guy. Maybe he would have turned into a bird as soon as he came near you. He would have flew off and told the other barbarians, or maybe he was super powerful and you would have fought him and he would have kicked your ass.
And even though you have something for no matter what we decide to do, is there ever like a hope in your heart? Like, I hope they talk to this guy. This would be fun.
Yes. For instance, at the tavern, you can kind of influence what people do by making it more tantalizing. Like Scoutmaster Denny, I wanted you guys to talk to him. You could have walked right in that bar and sat with the fishermen. Which would have been a little bit less interesting than Scoutmaster Denny.
We just talked about fish.
I don't know, man. I could really sit through some descriptions of fantasy fish.
But episode one was just us talking about fish for an hour and a half.
Get this. Tuna is called Zuna.
But I think you can like encourage that stuff by being like, well, Denny's sitting by himself at the bar. So he's at the bar. Mm-hmm. So you're probably going to go up and order a drink.
Yeah.
Right? So then I can initiate that conversation. But there's also, it's encouraging people to do the most interesting thing, but ultimately they'll kind of come up with the most interesting thing on your own.
Yeah, it's like in a video game when like one area is really well lit and everywhere else is dark.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I guess I'll go here.
You could show up to Moonstone and it could have been, and I've certainly played games where this has happened, where it could be like Caldwell's character shows up and instead of running right up to Hard One, he instead is just like, I don't want to go to the tavern because I'm a paladin, and that I don't want to be a place where they're serving alcohol.
It's
and
true.
I just have to be like, all right, well, he walks around. What does he see? Well, maybe he sees this half-orc druid that's sitting down by the bay. You know, have all these things planned out.
New character detail. Beverly does have a bunch of condoms that he hands out to people.
Oh, hell yeah. Wait, what is a fantasy condom?
Yeah.
What is a condom in Bahumia look
same
like?
Same question.
It would be like a lamb skin, but from like a fantasy animal. What's a good,
like an owlbear
like skin? An owlbear's foreskin that's been stitched
like
up with some seagrass.
Uh-huh.
A possum skin. No, Beverly keeps on looking at Papa.
Yeah. I feel like owlbear foreskins are like naturally elastic, so it would just work perfectly.
Yeah.
They also have spermicide naturally occurring.
Oh, yeah. The oils of their skin discourage the growth of sperm.
God,
so that's now canon.
Yeah. Write that down.
In right. Please write that down.
I'm typing as we speak.
Dear Wizards of the Coast.
Ideas. Well, let's talk about the second part of this question because they asked, is character death a risk here? And I will say it absolutely is a risk.
Yes.
That's another warning to us.
Yeah.
That is why.
We've been chastised week after week. Our DM won't stop hectoring us to stay alive.
It's like after a big game, you like go to the locker room and then like you get cornered by the coach.
And they're just like, you won this time, but those were bad fundamentals.
We got to talk to you by Coach Taylor.
You're not always going to win when you shoot the ball up from fucking mid-court.
Right, but I mean, Hard One's had a couple close calls.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that what happened is the first game, I was super scared that I was dead, and then it turned out I was knocked out, and everybody bailed me out.
I will say that, like, if I had not played a lot of D&D, if I didn't know that Murph would gladly kill one of my characters just to teach me a lesson, I would send Pawpaw on like spy missions and fight with him and stuff like that. But because I know that the threat of death is looming, I'm very conservative and pretty much keep him in my overall bib.
I will say I don't kill people as punishments.
Right,
I'm not being unfair.
I just think that you are a very fair DM.
Right, I think that the podcast would be less interesting to listen to, and I think the game would be less interesting to play if there was no danger.
That's true. Sometimes, I mean, a lot of times things go, like, we have another campaign with Murph's friends from New Jersey.
Bragging.
And two of the people have had to reroll new characters because one of them was turned into a werewolf and the other one was accidentally sent to another astral plane. So it's like, but these were all because of stupid moves on our party's part. So it's like, they were all very fair. It made sense. It was the right move as a DM.
I have a question for Murph. If I die, can I just introduce Beverly's secret twin, Sniverly?
No. The rule is you have to pick a different class.
Oh, okay.
And you could, if you really, really were like, I really just need to play Beverly's cousin and I need to be a halfling druid or something that was like similar to Beverly, we could talk about it. But I think it's cool when people, you know, if like one character goes, just make a new one instead of making a junior version of the other one.
And it's going to be cool if one of us dies, because then like we do get to have a funeral in real life with all of our listeners.
I would be so depressed if Hard One Surefoot died.
It would
legitimately
be sad if one of the characters died.
Yeah. But it's sad.
Well, especially, I fucking ordered my hero from Hero Forge.
I know.
And it hasn't arrived yet. And if it comes when I'm dead, I'll be very sad.
Oh, man.
I don't think I can handle that.
But I think consequences is what makes the game so exciting. So the fact that you failed at that bullywug call and the whole camp was alerted, the next time you do something like that and you succeed, you guys will flip the fuck out.
It's true.
And the listeners will be so happy.
Right.
As opposed
it'll be more fun when we're like talking about, like, should we try this again?
And I am going to try it again and again and again.
Right.
So this is what we were talking about almost a little bit before we started recording, which is that when I re-listened to the podcast, I had thought like, oh man, that was such a good idea of Caldwell to make that mating call. That's such a good call. And then I re-listened to the podcast and it was me who said to make the mating call. And I was so ashamed.
It was also funny because Jake brought up, he's like, couldn't we just snap some twigs?
Yeah.
And I was thinking this as you guys were like, we need to lure him out with a sound. In my head, I'm like, okay, they're going to, you know, make some sounds in the woods like they're an animal or
fuck
something.
Noises.
So he goes and looks and investigates himself.
But there's something that's so funny to me, like just pure comedy about being steamrolled by a dumber idea.
Yes, I agree.
Like, absolutely.
The tide is turned, like, no, we're doing a mating call.
Right. And I never want to discourage you guys from doing those bold moves, but I think it's fun to kind of balance the major victories in those moments and the major failures.
But here's the thing, though. That would have been such a fucking awesome moment if Bev had just let out a super convincing female bullywug.
Yeah, you know what that makes me think of is when you walked into the temple of Melora and you're like, can I sing a song? And Murphy's like, fine, roll. And you roll the fucking 20 or an 18 or something.
And it was just like, brilliant.
Yeah.
Top 40 hit.
Yeah, we can't do anything about it. It's an amazing song. you win this round.
You had a +6 to deception, right?
Yeah.
You had a +6 to deception. I gave you advantage. You had to get a 20, but you had two chances. You got to roll two die to roll a 14 or higher. So that's still pretty good odds.
I got really close, yeah.
And I will say, as far as like character death or consequences or anything like that, I would never have, you know, you do that and then all of a sudden spears come out of everywhere and you fight 30 bullywugs. It's
right.
Like the scouting party was alerted. They came after you guys. Now that after that happened, you guys have made another crazy decision to run towards the camp. Now you might die.
Know that if we die, it will be because we've committed some grave sin.
Yeah, you have to commit. It's kind of like a two-strike rule, basically. Uh-huh. You can do one thing really stupid. Consequences will happen. If then after that, while you're barely alive from that consequence,
learning
you do
no
something
lessons.
Stupid again, then you might die. Let's get to another question.
I also want to say one thing since we're talking about that, because I just feel like I really fudged it. I mean, I stand by the decision, but I also had no clue that the gong was to alert other
which made it,
bullywogs. I thought, oh, that's a ritualistic gong.
Yeah.
That's going to be for when they...
it made a lot of sense in retrospect, but like, it did not occur to us at all.
No.
That's very funny because it just goes to show you... Nothing
you
ever goes the way you think it's going to go. I was like, they'll see this guy and they'll know that they need to sneak up to him and get him before he rings the gong.
Oh, cool. He has a gong. Yeah. He must be in a band.
I thought that the dude was like there for the ritual, waiting for the kids to be brought to
him. Yeah, that's what I thought too. I was like, that gong's going to get rung and then they're going to eat the kids.
That's what I thought too. I thought the gong started the ritual.
So wrong on the gong.
Funny.
The wrong gong.
Wrong gong.
So some of these questions were a little bit longer, but we shortened them a little bit just so we could get to more questions. But Just Claire on Reddit asked, Murph specific, how worried are you that story elements you spend minutes, hours, days planning will just get skipped by the party entirely? How much would you try to coax them into doing a specific thing without using too heavy a hand?
Oh, that's, I sort of asked this
question. I think we kind of talked about this, but I kind of just set up you lay out breadcrumbs. You try to give them like three really great choices and you hope that they go down one of those paths. And usually people do. Sometimes you'll get somebody that'll just be like, I want to get a haircut. And you'll be like, fuck, now I have to just pull a barber character out of my head.
I feel like
that's
the person that, like, when a magician is like, pick a card, any card, they like try to pick one from the butt, like just to fuck up the trick.
Right.
Yeah, like, they just take the bow tie off the magician.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'll ask you guys, do you guys kind of feel like you can do anything?
Almost to a scary degree.
Yes.
I feel like I can do anything, but also just I I think all of us want to go on the coolest adventure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we also all like being together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want to like...
I always like just want to be part of the group and make sure everyone's safe. Mm-hmm. So that is a good directive to have in terms of like, I'm not going to be like, I jump off the cliff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I guess I can totally imagine people playing like that, but yeah. It would not be fun to be.
I also never want to, like, I know, like, some, I don't like people, aren't there, like, really annoying, like, characters or people who are, like, just, like, basically, like, what do they call, murder hobos or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, murder. Yeah, murder hobos are people who just ride into town and just kill whoever disagrees with them or is rude to them or anything like that. And they kind of don't do quests and just run into cities and just, it becomes GTA, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I want to, when I play video games, I want to open every single chest and armoire and drawer that I possibly can. I want to talk to every NPC that I can, and that's like how I like to play D&D too.
Yeah. I want to know, Murph, is there like one tavern we can go to where if we like find a secret wall, there's like a black void space and there's going to be a treasure chest there like in Final Fantasy?
There are treasures in secret places.
What?
I do have plans.
Treasures abound?
I'm not encouraging you guys to like show up
fuck
to
the kids. Fuck the kids. We're finding the treasure.
We're heading back to Moonstone, and I'm looking under that druid.
Oh, shit.
I bet you he's sitting on a diamond.
There's always, you know, hints to things, like the big things.
Right.
So you would never, if you, for instance, went into the tavern.
The thing glowing in the bay is a fucking jewel?
The thing, you guys are.
What?
You guys know what the thing glowing in the bay is.
Yeah, let's go get that moonstone.
No, it's a trident. It's like a staff.
Let's go get that trident.
We should definitely get that trident. Yeah.
Yeah, we're murder hobos.
This is murder hobo behavior.
Yeah, no,
you're just
going to
steal the.
You turned us into murder hobos.
No, this will be fun. We'll steal it, but then like we'll see all the fishermen looking sad and we'll be like, okay. We'll have a come to Jesus moment.
Yeah.
What if we steal it, then give it to the fishermen?
That's cool. And they just put it back in the
fishermen. Yeah,
they're
right.
Like, please, we benefit from this.
So this is
here.
This is an example.
Just keep stealing it and giving it to them.
What do you know what to do? Yeah. Thank you, great heroes.
This is kind of an example of like how people can play in different ways, right? Yeah. So if you guys were, you know, if you guys showed up to this town and you were like, wait, there's a staff at the bottom of the water. I want to go out and I want to try to find it. There is a way that you guys could maybe get down there and get it, but then you might have to fight Shay or something. Like the druids of the town, you'd get into, and then you guys would be bad guys.
I just
want
to be under her downward dog. I just want her to go from downward dog to plank, giving me little kisses along the way.
Oh, man. Just see her go through
the video. I just wanted to cook me dinner.
Ooh, yeah.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Factor. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. You can check out their menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto Friendly. Folks, their fresh, never frozen meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart your new routine. What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from, every week you'll always have new flavors to explore. So make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy and nutritious options. And also keep that kitchen time to a minimum. Factor's meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So that's no shopping, no prepping, no cooking or cleaning up. Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Head on over to factormeals.com/pawpaw50 and use the code pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code pawpaw50 at factormeals.com/pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Thank you, everybody. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there, you can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
C. Urbensky, 13, from Reddit, asks, Caldwell, do you come up with Bev's pledges, creeds on the spot, or do you think of them before and recite them in the story as it fits them?
That's giving me so much credit. No, I like write them out in advance.
Which is arguably more impressive.
I think that's cooler, man. Yeah. All right. I do.
I do like, I try to, yeah, I try to come up with like one or so every couple episodes. And I do write them out in Google Docs. And then before we start, I write them out on a green note card.
So do you remember the Green Teen's creed?
I don't know if I could recite it off the top of my head. A green teen is never mean, something, something, sight unseen.
Our something, our hearts serene. To glean the sheen of a light unseen.
There it is.
Something like that.
You're a better green team than I am.
I'm kind of inspired by that. Now I think that Moonshine is going to start referencing Crick songs.
I know. I just want to, one day I want to show up here with note cards. I think that's my goal. I want to have a fucking folder.
Hey, Jake, maybe your note cards can just have like what your abilities are. And
maybe you could just use like your action surge one time or your second wind.
I don't know. People have potions for me.
Oh my god. One day perhaps Hard One will return to Iron Deep and we'll get to meet all his his foster parents
god,
and
it.
His family.
It's
and all
so
that.
Fun that we have like three
his
homes.
First girlfriend.
Oh wait, you're straight up orphaned. You might meet your actual parents someday.
Oh, that'd be cool. I was left on the base of the mountain.
Do you think that Hard One's first girlfriend was a dwarf?
I think he's only ever fucked dwarves.
Yo.
Whoa.
That's awesome. He's fucked women with beards.
Right. I wonder and that's I like awesome. Haven't decided in my head if I guess he's already expressed that your character is hot, so maybe he thinks that
he could just think a
hot.
Bunch. I mean, that's the fun part about D&D is you can think a bunch of different creatures
like,
are hot.
Oh yeah, druids are hot, but nothing's hotter than a dwarf.
Yeah,
druids
you're
are hot, but their faces are so smooth. It's gross. It's like a kitchen counter.
Hard One just has like a buried childhood crush that he can't get over. That's just a beautiful dwarf woman.
His first love. The one that broke his heart.
I just can't wait for the very awkward dinner that we all have at my house.
This is a case where I am actually going to type out Hard One's lost dwarf love.
Great. I'm so excited.
Just like nestling into like her beard when you're sleeping. Yeah.
Yeah, our beards entwined.
Oh. Nothing's purer than that.
Whoa.
It really is. It's beautiful.
New relationship goals.
Yeah.
Braid each other's beards.
Another question from Reddit. Lake Griffey asks, this person asked a few questions, so I'll do a couple of them because one of them is just real quick. A lot of people have actually asked us how we generated our ability scores, whether we did the standard array where we used the preset numbers or if we rolled for them. We rolled for
them.
We rolled a bunch of dice.
We rolled them.
We rolled them, but I think the total of the basic numbers that they give you is 72, so I try to make sure it's not too much in either direction. And I remember when Jake first rolled Hard One, your total was like 95 or something.
It was really high.
You
right?
had like, yeah, you had like...
Oh.
318s or something, which is insane.
You
so we literally just took like 5 points off of.
Which in
some
retrospect,
of your
I'm very pissed about. Now that I've been knocked out twice, I almost died.
You would have had like a +4 in wisdom, which would have been insane for Hard One.
Oh no, I think so. It's good that we took that away. Yeah. Actually,
I think ultimately
My character should be dumb because it's hard for me to play smart without being that.
That is true. I actually have never played a character who's like super smart because I just don't even like the idea of like playing a character who's really well spoken and convincing is just like, oh, I have to role play that. I can't do that.
Yeah. I will also say Hard One's not dumb though, because you're specifically playing a character that's kind of the sensible one. Like Moonshine and Beverly always want to do crazy stuff.
Well, I think that that definitely helps from like me not knowing too much about the world. So I'm drawing from your part, your story to like to make decisions.
And dwarves are steadfast and stubborn.
Yeah, so it makes sense.
I love it.
Second part of Lake Griffey's question
was,
"You're
like Aragorn with a side of Gimli."
Oh my God. The perfect man. Aragorn with Gimli's beard.
Yeah. It kind of is what's going on here.
Yeah.
That's all I'd ever want.
Lake Griffey also asked, what surprised you most when you played D&D for the first time?
Is that for all of us or for
Jake? That's for all of you guys, I guess. Hmm.
I'll say the first time I ever played D&D, it's like the very first moment when you're like, when you just say, okay, I do this. And in your mind, you're like, is anyone going to stop me from doing this? Like, and you can just do it is like, that's the moment that either you get hooked or you aren't into D&D.
I think for me, it was when I played D&D and then I drew everyone's character and everyone respected me for having a skill.
That's beautiful.
Cool. So, Jake, your first time ever playing D&D was literally the first episode of this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I think a couple things.
And he's only getting worse.
I'm dying more and more. I feel like I kind of knew I was going to like it, but I did not anticipate like the pure unbridled joy that's associated with it. It's like addicting. There was a night where our plan was to play for like 2 hours.
We were going to get like a session or two in for an episode.
And we just like basically played until midnight because after we were done playing, we were just like downstairs talking about what we were going to do next time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like
that was when that night ended, I was kind of like one more.
Yeah.
Maybe I should do one more.
Yeah, I would have done one more. Yeah. I probably would have done it until the morning.
Yeah.
That was a good-ass night. We ate cheeseburgers, too.
It was a great night.
Fuck,
it was a great night.
Every other day sucks, okay?
I think the other thing that surprised me, even though like I still don't get a lot of it, it was surprisingly easy to like fall into step, especially playing with you guys since you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that, you know, and I've seen a lot of people tweeting about this or posting on the Reddit, people asking how to play. You just have to play. Like, you just kind of pick it up as you go along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the rule, especially as a player, the rules really aren't that complicated. As a caster, it gets a little bit more difficult.
Right.
But even as a DM, it's like, yeah, you'll make mistakes, and only you will know your mistakes, kind of.
Right. You know? You just need a basic understanding of the rules. You don't need to...
And you listen to our, and like everybody listening right now listens to the show, probably. It's not like a tightly scripted, immaculate thing. Like,
right.
And Murph, you're allowed lies to like discuss. Yeah.
You're allowed to discuss things and ask questions. And even you guys, we played forever. You're like, what do I add to that? Or which dice do I roll for that?
Yeah,
it
part
is
of a spell.
Best description I've heard of it is collective storytelling. So, like, if you were like, oh, I want a DM, but like, I'm scared, I don't know all the rules. Yeah, like, you don't have to, you as a group can kind of make up the rules to a certain extent. There's malleability within the rules.
Yeah.
You can do like house rules a little bit, sure.
Yeah.
And then I think as a DM, you also learn, once you learn the basic rules, you can kind of apply that to everything. Like when Beverly decided to use the snake fang to stab the frog.
Right.
You just had to take a second and kind of think. You had to be like, well, this is something I'm going to have to pull out of my ass. But okay, no, let's think about it. So it's a fang. So it'll work like a dagger. What's a dagger? It's a d4 plus your modifier.
Right.
So that's how that works. Plus, it would also do probably some poison damage. So I give him a d6 of poison damage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's balanced and stuff. Caldwell gets to feel like he improvised something cool. Which he did.
It was cool. It was cool. It was dangerous.
Yeah, you bitch slapped someone with that.
You did bitch slap somebody with a fang, which is pretty dope.
I will say, though, that's also one of the fun things about playing is, like, maybe it's because I often play with Murph as my DM, so it's like kind of like my husband. So I have like a bit of like that.
A little bit.
I have a bit of, but it's like fun to throw stuff
at
you.
Caldwell also has that, which is just from doing Infant Book Club and stuff together.
Yeah.
I think you guys are my rebellious children.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, Jake is probably the good boy.
Yeah. No, but he'll get there though.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Jake's going to join the nasty boy squad. Don't worry.
But that's always the fun part, to be like, I want to do this. And then seeing like the gears work in your head where you're like, okay, well, you'd have to roll. I'll give it to you if you can roll. Like, that's going to be like a DC 19 bluff check or something like that.
Right.
Like, being a DM like is absolutely just like being a dad, where you have to like bargain with your children. We're like, if you do your chores, I'll give you this treat. And for us, the treats are like getting to do something cool if we do a good enough roll.
Yeah. We're very lucky that you're willing to do this.
Yeah. It's also, we were talking before about like consequences and everything. And I think kind of the way I think about it is that your players are as badass as like Legolas, but they're not Bugs Bunny. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can't do completely insane shit that breaks the world and makes it so there's no consequences. But you could ride a shield down some stairs and try to crash through people. Yeah.
But
that's
also,
something you could do.
But also, I like that. I like that loophole. One of the beautiful loopholes in D&D is that like a nat 20 like bumps you up. It's not like you go from 19 to 20. Like a nat 20 will let you do shit that you normally could not do.
Yeah, you do Michael Jordan long arm dunk.
Yeah. So you that's when you get like
so
I feel
it's
like
Michael Jordan in Space Jam, Bugs
well,
Bunny.
Well, a nat 20
is like your Bugs Bunny moment.
No.
It's not. Obviously you couldn't do something physically insane that like defied the laws of physics, but I think that like you get to do something that your character couldn't do otherwise.
I will say that making a toad fall in love with you is pretty Bugs Bunny, as far as things go.
That's the thing, right? If you were like, I want to seduce this bullywug, and you rolled a 20, it's not going to work no matter what.
Should have done that, yeah.
True. That's not going to work no matter what. A mating call, on the other hand, if you roll a nat 20 on a mating call, then you just did a fucking brilliant mating call, and this bullywug thinks that there's another bullywug out in the swamp.
You could get the bullywug to jerk off, but you can't get
that's
him to
that's what I'm
to.
Saying. That's my point, is I do feel like you would get the bullywug to jerk off.
Right, I'll give you a hand job, but I'm not going to blow you.
Exactly
how this goes.
That's the difference between a 19 and a 25.
But yeah, those were from Lake Griffey. I also want to thank Lake Griffey because Lake Griffey has been answering people's questions on the Reddit who want to be DMs and stuff. So I think that's very valuable part of this little community that we have so far. I really want to be able to encourage more people to DM. So I really appreciate your work. Let's see here. Somebody asked, I realize these are a lot of DM questions.
That's fine.
It's okay.
We can all kind of talk about it. Somebody said, if when you do another campaign, will you switch up? Who will be the DM?
Oh.
Fuck it. I'll do it.
Thank you.
I have been vaguely interested. However, I have many hobbies, and I see the way that being a DM has taken over Murph's life. And I don't know that I would have the time for it. I sometimes wonder.
I DM I wouldn't call it DMing, but I run like a vague campaign for Drawfee called Draga, which is like a drawing-based version of Dungeons & Dragons, where instead of rolling dice, you essentially just like draw what you want to do. And I really enjoy doing that. So I could definitely be tempted to try that out. But I also am like Emily and have a lot going on. So,
I could not DM for a very, very long time, but I will say that it would be very fun to play with you
We should do bonus episodes, maybe.
Hey,
where
we do
one
shots where you guys
DM. I would definitely DM a one shot. That'd be fun as hell.
That'd be super cool. Because that'd be fun to play with Murph. Just as, like you having Papa or your own version of it.
Yeah, it is interesting when you're doing something like this, because the dynamic would kind of change completely.
Right.
And so for us to all play together, and let's say that we do a full campaign that lasts a couple years and everybody gets up to level 20 and there's some big epic boss fight and you guys save the world or whatever, and we've done, you know, hundreds of episodes together or something, to then completely change it.
Yeah.
Seems kind of crazy, but I think we could also experiment with it.
I feel like an interesting question here is, Murph, you play multiple characters, but you also DM multiple campaigns. Which do you prefer? Or is it not about that?
I think I prefer DMing, but I feel like it's only really possible to give your heart and soul to like one campaign. Like when I'm DMing, now that I'm DMing this, our kind of New Jersey crew is suffering.
Oh, no.
Thank God I'm not suffering. Take that, New Jersey.
Do they know?
Yes, because we haven't been playing as often. And, you know, also when it's not being recorded,
right,
you also don't need to be quite as consistent. So you can be like, I have a general idea of what's going here.
Yeah.
And then I can shoot from the hip a bit.
Absolutely.
Whereas when we're all playing together, Moonstone, I know it like the back of my hand. So you guys can say, I want to go try to talk to this person, or I want to go find this or something. I will have an answer for that. And that's a lot of work to know the...
I want to ask about Moonstone.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a brothel in Moonstone?
There is not a brothel in Moonstone.
Is there an ice cream store?
There is not an ice cream store.
Fuck.
How many restaurants are there in Moonstone?
Yeah, that's a good question.
There's the Hungry Trout Inn and Tavern, and there is another like smaller inn.
Is there an egg slot?
Food at. It's a very, very small village.
What kind of food?
Yeah, do they have coffee in Bohemia?
They have coffee, yeah.
Can I get a flat white?
Yeah, just go up to Mishka and order a tea.
A complicated latte.
Order a green tea.
No eggs.
Like when I asked her if her largest beer.
Yeah.
But yeah, somebody asked a question that is kind of interesting, and perhaps we can all weigh in.
Yeah.
Somebody said, this is Cult of the Helix Fossil.
Okay.
Great name. From Reddit.
Little Twitch plays Pokemon throwback.
Said that they're DMing right now, and we've had some issues with characters not getting along. Players work together, but personality types of characters clash, making me worried that one character is going to end up just killing another and ending the campaign.
Whoa.
Without metagaming too much, how do you or would you handle infighting among the party? How do you plan to make sure this party stays as a party rather than just disbanding?
This is crazy shit. I will say that there was one session for one campaign that me and Murph are in, but Murph does not DM it, and things got tense, and we had to like text each other afterwards to be like, hey, we're all cool, right?
Well, I think that's the key. That's the key, right? Is like talking to the other players. So I would encourage this person, Cult of the Helix Fossil, to talk to your players.
Yeah.
You guys don't feel like, do you guys think there's going to be big tension with like Hard One and
Moonshine and Beverly in the future? I cannot imagine a world where any of my D&D characters like doesn't like another.
Right. This is so much fun to play.
Yeah.
I can't quite imagine like sitting here rolling dice and being in a bad mood because somebody's been mean to my human raised by dwarves.
Well, I think again, at the end of the day, it's about telling a story and like, any good story needs a little conflict. So
right.
Like, I think that in and of itself can be fun to like kind of inject that conflict.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're gonna get like mad at each other. And I think like if you can find a way for that conflict to be fun, it seems like maybe this group is like just kind of like roadblocking each other a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I wonder. I would maybe encourage the DM to like kind of reach out to people individually or like to try to kind of figure out like, oh, is this person mad because they feel like they're trying to make a move and then this other person is like railroading it, in which case you could reach out to the other person and be like, you know, like
it's
maybe
like DMing life in addition to the game.
Yeah. Well, kind of the classic D&D problem is the paladin versus the rogue, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you have somebody who wants to play and they want to be a hero. They want to do the good stuff and they want to conquer all the quests and save people and stuff. And then you have other people that just want to do whatever they want. So for instance, it could cause infighting if you guys are in that bar in the first episode and you guys are fighting the barbarians and stuff, and then somebody in the party is like, let's kill Mishka and steal whatever's behind the bar.
Right.
It's like, that's fucked up. I think that would piss me off as a player.
Yeah. Or if one of them tried to smoke weed.
You just have to remind everybody that Aragorn was once Strider, you know? Like, he was wandering through Middle-earth alone.
That's so true.
And he didn't rise to his rightful throne until he partnered with Legolas and Gimli.
Yeah,
and
until he learned how to work as a team.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that is just to be serious for a second. I think that is the nice thing about D&D is that it gets you out of the mindset of like, I'm the hero of the story, I'm the main character.
Yeah,
and it's like, everyone's involved.
Communication
skills.
The
other thing that gets you out of I'm the hero of this story mindset is being knocked out.
Yeah.
You're like, help me with your potion.
I think another solution might be to just like roast those two members in a separate group chat.
Oh, yeah.
Just like,
oh my God.
Passive aggressive, like,
yeah.
Wait, that's really good advice, though. Just start a group chat with just like the two members who are fighting and then be like, hey, like, I see that tension.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
You know, I think if it plays into the story and if everybody's having fun, it can be a good thing, but it can't.
Absolutely.
But when you don't want to have too much player versus player combat, because then they're just, you know, you don't want to have, then you're not doing anything. And then people can be real cheap asses. Like, if you guys just decided to kill each other, you guys could just decide while you're camping for a long rest, it's just like Hard One tries to chop Moonshine's head off.
Would never. I would never.
My God.
Even
Papa would
don't.
Kill me.
Goku and Vegeta were like number one enemies, and now like they babysit each other's kids.
Right.
So it's like anything's possible.
That's beautiful. Can I get that on a t-shirt, a bumper sticker, some juicy sweatpants?
We had all that on the butt.
The entire ass.
We had a fun conflict in one campaign that we played where Emily's character and a few of the other characters got into a bar fight with a dude that they didn't need to get into a bar fight with. They just got into a fight with him.
He
was being rude, but like
him.
Han Solo rude, not like evil rude.
He needed to learn a lesson. That's my close-minded religious cleric. So
anyway, they got into a fight with this.
She's also a huge drunk.
This dude. She got into a fight with this dude in this bar, and he had all of his friends there. It was like his hangout spot. So him and his friends beat the shit out of the whole party, knocked everyone out, stole all of their stuff, and threw them out into the street. So then one of the characters had to go make a deal with this like evil shadow organization, and he essentially had to sell his soul to help get everybody's stuff back.
Whoa.
So then that character became evil. So he's an NPC now. So you can kind of turn these conflicts into ways that the game is still fun without having it be PvP.
Problem solving.
Right.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's the thing is like, are they getting mad at each other because their characters are getting mad at each other? In which case, like, you can work with that. Or are they getting mad at each other because they as people are like pissed at each other, in which case you're gonna have to start that separate group text.
Right. Like if you're playing with somebody who's playing lawful good and they get pissed anytime somebody lies or anytime somebody drinks or anytime somebody does something that's rude, that's really annoying. But if you're playing a chaotic neutral and you stab everybody or you just go steal stuff everywhere you get, that's annoying too, because then that makes the whole party a bunch of stupid ruffians.
Yeah. I love that this has turned into like relationship talk with Adam Carolla.
This is love line. Yeah.
This is love line for groups of 4 to 7.
I love how, wait, can I just like briefly say, I'm looking at how we're all sitting in the room right now. And if you took a picture, like each of the ways that we're sitting, like fully represents how our characters act in the game.
your posture is perfect, leaning forward towards the mic.
I am like sitting in a chair like it's a hammock.
Uh-huh. And Jake has an axe.
That's right.
Yeah.
This one might be our last question because I am not going to answer it at all because I don't want to give you guys any kind of spoilers. I just want to hear you guys talk about
it.
This is from Reddit. Username 456123.
Nice. Says,
classic reference.
That was available?
Whoa. Classic. Says, so the original three heroes of Bohemia are in hiding. Does that mean it would be possible for Hard One, Beverly, and Moonshine to run into them? That would be really interesting.
I definitely want
to run into them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to, too.
I want to have like a Luke Skywalker on Octo moment with the paladin.
That's what I was thinking. Is like, I'd love to run into them like almost like beards grown out, like disillusioned look in their eyes, like drinking too much.
What if we all met up with like the corresponding heroes and we did like separate training missions with them?
No, yeah, but I would say being separate in D&D is always really disappointing.
Oh, yeah. It's hard because like you're kind of sitting around cracking like excellent jokes while they're doing like cool action stuff. And like your jokes are like super good, but you feel like you're missing out.
But you also like want to get in there.
Yeah.
Our characters like probably worship these heroes, right? Like I know that Hard One is like super into the dwarf guy.
Absolutely.
What's the dwarf guy's name?
Ulfgar. Yeah. Ulfgar, who's a fighter.
It's like
Alanis.
A drawing of Ulfgar on his cave wall back home.
Yeah.
Dude, he should get an Ulfgar calf tattoo.
Moonshine really
will do it.
Yeah, well, you guys have yet to prick me with something. What was the tattoo that I was going to get? Opa Aladdin style? Maybe next episode I should get the tattoo.
Yeah, we should meet a tattomancer. I think Beverly definitely has like an action figure of the paladin character.
You mean the cleric?
Oh yeah, the cleric.
Yeah, it's a cleric. That's Theala.
Yeah.
Then there's Ulfgar. That's the dwarf fighter. And then there's Alanis, who is the elf wizard.
He's definitely closer to a Barbie doll, but he likes it anyway.
Truthfully, I don't think Moonshine would idolize any of them, but I think it's just out of ignorance. I think she just hasn't like been exposed to them enough because she's been living in that insular crick until it went amiss mm-hmm. and then had to wander out a bit.
Yeah.
I can't wait for us all to go to the Crick someday.
Oh, me too. After all we've heard about the Crick, the amazing hospitality. But what's amiss?
What's going on at the Crick?
I want us to go there and it's like a Wet n Wild theme park. It was never actually a Crick. It's very built up.
It's just like a wizard casts an illusion of a Crick and we've all been worshiping it and bathing in it daily. That's why we smell like shit, because we think we're bathing in water.
Yeah,
but
it's just a
wizard
sewage
solution.
Plant.
Just crawling with pawpaws. This is a possum infestation.
This isn't a Crick.
It's a little possum hive.
Cool, guys. Those are all the questions I have prepped. Was there anything?
The only thing that somebody, I don't have the name ready, but somebody asked like what merit badges I have, and I have been keeping a tally.
Really?
Oh, this is great.
I have a list. I don't have it with me, but I would like to give this opportunity for the group to decide which merit badges I have that I haven't mentioned yet. Oh. Are there any merit badges? The only one that I was thinking of is I like giving Beverly merit badges that seem cool at first but are actually super lame. So, like, I don't know how to play the violin, but I have violin appreciation. So just
that's
like,
really funny.
Yeah, just like knowledge of things, but not any application.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Were you an Eagle Scout?
Yeah.
You said before.
There's some really lame ones.
Yeah,
you have maps drawing, but not maps reading.
Yeah, definitely cartography, but definitely not like navigation. Yeah. I'm trying to think about
like
the
fire putting out, but not starting.
100%. I had a badge called like emergency preparedness, which was just like, it was not how to administer like first aid or anything. It was just like how to identify that someone's having a heart attack, not how to fix it.
Oh,
I'm really good
God.
At calling 911.
I would say Beverly would definitely have some kind of manners badge or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like an etiquette badge.
Right. For sure.
Maybe like utensil identification.
I feel like I've got like a whole section of my sash for that.
Right. Yeah. Like you know how to cut and prepare game. Like
yeah.
if you're
oh,
hunting,
yeah.
but you don't know how to kill any of it.
No. Certainly
or
not.
Or cook it. Because
yeah.
you don't have your cooking
right.
badge.
But you
we
can carve
that.
It very, very evenly.
I think
that's
there's like
so funny if you know how to carve a cooked bird, but you don't know how to cook it.
I don't know how to build the trap.
I think that there's like a whole section. I think there's probably like sections that are required to like move up in the ranks, and one of them is just called Little Gentleman.
That'd be kind of fun if you just had an emotional openness one.
Oh, absolutely.
So that like a vulnerability badge or something like that, just because it'd be fun for you to be like, look, I know how to do this. I have this badge.
It's also very fun, like anytime I do something sincere, for me to just instantly like put a little booklet in your face and be like, that was actually just requirements for this badge.
Do you have a badge that you are hoping for? Is there like one badge that you want more than anything?
The cooking badge, as we mentioned, I do not have the cooking badge.
I hope you really suck at it for a while. It'd be really funny if you're like this badass who's like just felling creatures and you can't get your cooking badge.
Decapitating shit.
I also loved that we were talking about how, because, you know, in the player's manual and stuff, and you get to choose your subclass at level 3, mm-hmm. and then you'll be able to talk to animals. And I was like, well, you'll probably become a junior Green Knight once you can talk to animals. And your response was very funny, which is like, yeah, I think I need my animal relations badge.
Animal relations badge is...
It's just so funny to call it animal. It just sounds like you're fucking animals.
That's a Bullywog mating call right there.
To me, it sounds like you're booking a trip for an animal.
God, yeah. Once I get that skill, I'm going to be so much better at mating calls.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
There is going to be such an uptick in shenanigans once Beverly can speak to fucking animals.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man.
That's going to be even though you're this powerful paladin, every single Beverly turn is going to be like, can I do a perception check if there are any animals around?
That is my shit.
Beverly really wants to talk
Murph
to a worm.
Like, yeah, Murph will be like, I don't know, I guess there's a worm. Cool, I talk to the worm.
Yeah, it's going to be like, are there any beetles about?
Yeah, I just, in addition to mapping out the NPCs in the town, I need to think of every bug that Beverly might speak to.
Oh, yeah.
That's a ladybug.
You know that Beverly's.
Wait, am I? I'm going to be able to speak to animals too, I bet.
God damn it.
Oh, man.
Wow, we're going to have a real fucking zoo of a time.
It's going to be great. Because you guys are going to have to translate for a hard one. Because I'm also going to want to talk to the animals.
Yep. We're going to have so many inside jokes. It's going to be great.
I was going to definitely be laughing like he understood as well.
Ah, that horse is funny, I know.
Yeah. Yep, I can also understand that horse.
I hard just needed to speak a little louder. What did the horse say, Bev?
I know who your parents are, hard one.
Did the horse say something about me?
Nah, no, no.
That'd be really funny. He was like, nee, hard one. Okay, I know that horse is talking about me.
That's just...
He made my fucking name that time, guys.
He made my name.
Cool, guys. So I think we're going to wrap it up. Thank you again for all the reviews. We'll continue to do bonus episodes as we hit certain benchmarks and stuff. I think we'll announce it on the actual episodes of the podcast.
Yep.
What kind of bonus episodes and stuff we're thinking about doing. But we appreciate all your questions.
Right.
We're going to go on the Reddit, R Not Another D&D podcast, and we will answer more questions, anything we didn't get to.
Yeah, baby.
That's right. And if you leave another review with the 5 stars, we'll give you the shout out.
Oh, yeah. We'll give you the shout out next episode. We already had a bunch at the end of this last episode.
Those are fun.
That just came out.
They are fun.
They are fun. You guys did a great job. They were very funny.
Thank you.
It's just like a chance to write in another person's voice.
Oh, beautiful. there were also a lot of people asking about, you know, I know we had a bunch of DM questions and stuff here, but there were even more asking how to play and how they can find people to play with and everything. And I would love to, you know, I don't know, maybe even once a week or something, I can do like an ask me anything or whatever, and we can talk about DMing and stuff, because it's been super cool seeing people, like, you know, we had one person send us a picture of them holding
the player's handbook.
They just bought it.
I love
people
that
are getting into D&D.
Yeah, somebody commented, I think their name was K-Said in Reddit. It was just like, after never played, they listened to the podcast and now they want to start a campaign.
Yeah, it seems there's awesome. so many of those people on the subreddit. You guys should play together. Like, we're happy to kind of help facilitate that.
It's also just a super fun way to hang out with your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have multiple groups that we just go to cabins, play forever. It's just a great way to hang out with friends.
Right.
Too.
But we also play on Skype with our friends across the country.
With the Jersey people.
So if you guys, you know, on the subreddit are interested in playing, maybe I'll set up a thread or something where we can have volunteer DMs, or people can also learn how to DM. It's not as hard as it seems.
You just have to read one book.
And also, if everybody's learning together, then everybody's patient. And if it's, you know, I think this community and this fandom and stuff will be cool, nice people.
Yeah.
Because
that's
positive.
Kind of,
it better be.
What we hope to facilitate. So let's get some more DMs and let's get some Not Another D&D podcast games going, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. Thank you for all the questions. And thank you, David sent me a DM screen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
listener David,
cool.
Thank you. It was so dope. I have the regular 5e DM screen, which has so much useless information on it. David sent me a new one, so now I got lots of pertinent shit.
That's if awesome. You want to send us stuff, you can do it at 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027.
If you send us miniatures, I'll paint them, because I have a painting.
I ordered my miniature, so I
know. That was a group text where Jake kept sending a picture of this miniature he designed, and he's like, I'm so tempted.
I was like,
by the way, I have miniature painting set. You could paint it. And he was like, ordering it so fast.
I did order it instantly.
Guys, but check out our other projects. Emily and I have a book out, Hey You Up, How to Turn Your Booty Call into Your Emergency Contact. It's a satirical relationship advice book. Obviously, listen to this next episode of this podcast when it comes out on
Thursday. Tell your friends.
Subscribe, tell your friends,
tell
5 stars.
Telling your friends, by the way, is a really great way to get other converts in play.
Right, and the more attention this gets, the more people that listen to this, the more episodes we'll do, the more bonus episodes we'll do.
Yeah.
No, but Jake has a great point, which is like, if you're like, oh, I really want to play D&D, but I don't know anyone who knows it, just have them listen to this.
If we convinced you, we might convince your friends.
Oh,
yeah. Then if all your friends get into it, then you book a fucking cabin, and you're like, let's give this a fucking whirl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Book a cabin with your friends.
All right, guys. Listen to If I Were You. Watch Drawfee. Listen to 8-Bit Book Club. Call to Again. Anything else?
#NadPod on Twitter. if you want to talk about the show.
We're also going to try, someone suggested an Instagram for all the cool art, and I'm going to try to make that.
Yeah, and we'll have, if people want to be featured on there, we'll have
them send
it to us.
Yes, I'll contact you. I won't put it on there without permission, of course.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for listening. May the Baba Yaga not take you this night. May Bahamut keep you.
Pelor bless.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.